So already in the year 54, Paul talks about participating in the body and blood of Jesus when they ate meals together. So that there's a strong sense that this is not an ordinary meal, but is a meal which gives a participation in the life and death of Jesus, and an anticipation of Jesus' second coming. So it was not ordinary, but it was simple, and it was communal, and it was genuinely a meal. We could gather around a card table and have Christian worship, you see. Now, what happens when this card table in the cave is transported to the great basilicas of Rome, the great halls of justice? Okay? What happens is that worship needs to expand to fill the space allotted to it. So the basilicas have a fundamental structure of a very long hallway called the nave, often with aisles on the side, but it goes on and on. And the word nave comes from the word ship, navis. So you have that sense of this long interior. And at the end of it is often a circular space called the apse. And in the apse is the sanctuary, which is the holy place. And that's where the ritual activity tends to take place. And later, in particular in Gothic cathedrals, which develop in the Middle Ages, there is also a transept, which, as the word suggests, is a horizontal expansion in the nave. So that if you would look at a Christian cathedral from the sky, you would see it in the form of a cross, with the nave leading to the apse, and then the transept cutting across it. This is a very large space. Now, what would this suggest about worship? The sanctuary is going to be the place where the professionals are, the clergy, the priests who carry out the worship in the holy place. Where are the other participants? They are the laity. They are going to be in the position less of participants and more as observers of activity that is being carried out by professionals. And because there are these larger spaces, you can't put a card table at the end of the great basilica and have a homely meal. One needs to be representative of the grandeur of Rome. So what happens is that the clergy now take on the vestments, you know, the ornate garb of priests. You have processions, movement. You have music to accompany these long spaces. You have lots of smoke indicating divine service is in process. You have bells. You have whistles. In other words, all of the things that are accoutrement of a public event now become ingredient to Christian worship. And this is a simple function of change of place, going from a table in a household or a card table in a cave to occupying a huge public space and needing to represent, in some sense, the imperial religion. So both in terms of organizational complexity and in terms of architecture and in terms of the worship that takes place in that architecture, we are seeing Christianity in the blink of an eye move from the simple, the persecuted, the minority to a majority and public posture in which most Christians now become observers of a professional class who are the real Christians, the clergy, the ministers. This is a dramatic change in the Christian religion. So baptism. Let's just revisit baptism and the Eucharist. Baptism now becomes an elaborate process and ritual of initiation, which is celebrated not when you or you want to become a Christian and we dunk you in water and accept you into the community, but it becomes a large formal event celebrated once a year at the Easter Vigil, Easter being the celebration of the death and resurrection of Jesus on a set date. And it is preceded by a 40-day period of preparation of those called catechumens, those who are being instructed. And they are given elaborate instructions in creed, in belief, in how to pray, and so forth and so on. And then they are baptized in an all-night ceremony before the whole throng of the faithful. So baptism shifts its very shape because of these changes.